burden because of where I come from. Whatever I say might be controversial. Whatever I say about Jews or about Palestinians, it is like moving with a knife a lively wound. And that hurts, hurts a lot. I hope if I hurt, it is in order to heal, not to hurt or to harm. You have seen some sides of my life. I was not trained to build schools and to keep my hands dirty with dirt and with stones. Maybe the best thing to do is to introduce myself as I want to be introduced, as I understand myself. That will help you at the same time to see the complexity and to see the challenge that are there in that small piece of land that one side calls Israel, the other called Palestine, and the third side called the Holy Land. Well, I am your forgotten brother. I am a Palestinian. Need I say I have no bombs? Need I say I was born without stones in my hands? Need I say that as soon as I opened my eyes and was 8 years old, I started being terrorized? I'm a Palestinian, a proud Palestinian. I'm a Palestinian Arab. My mother language is this very easy to learn Arabic language. Why do you laugh? You don't believe me. If you don't believe me, please accompany me next week to Galilee. You will see that even young children speak Arabic there. A language is a tool. You learn it when you need it. I learned 11 languages, and I wish I could learn more. I'm an Arab Palestinian, or Palestinian Arab, and also, believe me, I'm a Christian. That's also already a certain complication. Christian, if anybody would like to know when I was converted, well, it's true, I was not born a Christian, thank God.
I want to start with a quote from Move's founder, John Africa, because this quote, it really gets to the root of revolution. Gets to the root of what MOVE people believe. It gets to the root of how this system keeps people oppressed and locked and tied to the system. To quote John Africa, the coordinator quote, "You can be wrong and still be legal, but when you say you're right and do wrong, you ain't right no more. Ain't no such thing as a legal right, because right ain't legal. It's natural. If being legal was the same as being right, you wouldn't have legal problems. You got a legal system, and your legal system is filled with problems. But if the system was right, it would be just that, right. When you officials demand people are to follow your procedures to defend themselves, you are demanding that people give up their own procedure. Moves against the system. We've made it clear that we're against the system. We don't benefit anything when we do things as the system instead of as Move. Your way is to stop us. Our way is to stop you. So how can we benefit by you, by doing things as you? It's not a question of Move against the court. It is an issue of Move against the system. And it ain't procedure to help what you're against. And you officials know it. We're against the system. You want to stop us. And to ask us to go along with your procedure is to help you stop us. Volunteer our freedom to be imprisoned. Put handcuffs on our wrists and lock our own selves up. How else can it be? You're not for us. You're against us.
And a Palestinian Christian Arab who is at the same time with the same power a citizen of the state of Israel. All that does not go along together. All these facets of my identity do not give me peaceful time. And I wanted at some time to know, what am I first? Arab, Palestinian, Israeli, Christian? The easiest thing was that I could not agree to be first and above all a citizen of Israel. I had a problem with Israel. Israel is an entity of 56 years old and I am 64 years old. I'm older than Israel.
The first point being that legal has absolutely nothing to do with what's right. You can be legal and still be wrong, but you can't be right and still be wrong. It's impossible. Slavery was legal. The Holocaust was legal. Apartheid was legal. The bombing of Vieques was legal. You have a U.S. Supreme Court who is telling people today that executing an innocent person is legal. They have ruled in a case called the Herrera case in Texas, the home of George Bush, that if you have had your quote-unquote fair trial, if you have exhausted your appeals, and at the last minute before an execution, someone comes forward and confesses, as was the case in the Herrera case, gives all the details. Obviously, there's a significant question here, and it should be investigated. But the U.S. Supreme Court said, oh, no, we're not interested. At this point, innocence is not the issue, and we're not having a hearing to look into this confession.
Did I immigrate into Israel? No, it's Israel who immigrated into my country, Palestine, took over the big territory of Palestine, most of it, and made of it the state of Palestine, the state of Israel, and my people, simultaneously with the creation of the state of Israel, became a dispersed people. I would say they became the Jews of the Jews, unfortunately.
MOVE people don't accept it. We do not accept it. We know what's right, and we know what's not right, whether it carries the term legal or not.
They were ethnically cleansed. The first or the second ethnic cleansing in the Middle East after the Armenian Holocaust. Many of the Palestinians, hundreds of thousands, were evicted, deported, escaped, fled, and became refugees in the surrounding Arab countries, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Jordan, elsewhere also. Hundreds of thousands of other Palestinians did not want to go as far as the neighboring Arab countries. They decided to stay in the neighborhood, in the territory of Palestine that was not immediately controlled by the Israeli army.
You know, officials wanting you to give up your own procedure and follow their procedure to defend yourself. This is a very, very profound point, because those running this system want people to accept that the only way you can protest an injustice, the only way that you can express the fact that you oppose something, that you see something wrong in this system and you oppose it, is within the framework of what those who have caused the wrong say that you can protest in. I mean, Could Jews expect Hitler to lay out for them the way to stop the Holocaust? Could black South Africans look to officials of apartheid to map out for them, lay out the groundwork for them to stop apartheid?
These refugees did not come from overseas. They came from Jaffa, from Lod, Ramallah, Ashkelon, Ashdod, other towns. And they were stuck there. No job, no facility, no human right, no education. They were left with one human right free to practice. They were left only able to make children. And they made and make children, many, many children. They are healthy, intelligent, but without any future. For the first, second, third, fifth, sixth, seventh generation. They have no future. And it's not difficult to convince a young man or a young woman who have the ambition of your own children but has no future whatsoever, and every day if he tries to leave home or village or quarter of his place, checkpoints are there to humiliate him or her. It's not difficult to brainwash such young people so they say we will kill ourselves and kill others. It's better to die than to stay alive in humiliation.
Now, when you believe in life, you also are in tune with the principle of freedom, the principle of equality. That is synonymous with life. You know, jails didn't come from Mother Nature. Zoos didn't come from Mother Nature. Racism didn't come from Mama. It's an invention of man. It came from man. So when you believe in life, you believe in the principle of freedom, peace, equality. This is Moose belief.
That is why when we hear about suicide bombers, we do not need to justify that. This is a crime. A crime against oneself and a crime against others. But we are not allowed to stop there. We need to go deep to the roots of that despair that pushes people to prefer death on life. And there should be the remedy for despair and for suicide bombers.
This is what MOVE was doing in the early days of MOVE, putting out information, taking strong stands in defense of life, of freedom, equality. Well, cops would come out to our demonstrations. They would watch us. They would photograph us. They would audio tape us and I guess take it back to their bosses. And at one point, I guess, these officials decided that if people were listening to MOVE, being influenced by MOVE, they had a problem and they wanted to stop us. So initially, they came at us with money, funding, wanted to set us up in an office and all of that nonsense, wanted to bribe us, co-opt us, you know, buy us off. MOVE people weren't going for it. We told them very clearly, listen, we don't want your money. We don't need your office. You have nothing that we want. We've got our direction. We know the work we have to do, and we don't want anything from you.
What was wrong? Was it a conflict of religious conflict? It could not be a religious conflict because we Jews and Palestinians, Muslims and Christians, we were always living together for centuries and centuries. We share the misery of being the slaves of the Turks. We allied together, Muslims, Christians, and Jews, to get rid of the Crusaders, who came in the name of Christ, but knew absolutely nothing who was Christ.
When they saw that they could not buy us off or bribe us or co-opt us, that's when the brutality began. When we would go to set up a peaceful demonstration somewhere, the cops would be there as usual, only this time they were telling us that we had to pack up and leave, that we could not have a demonstration. We questioned them on it. We challenged them on it. We didn't just accept that. We asked them, what were they talking about? What did they mean that we couldn't demonstrate? Isn't this supposed to be America, where you have freedom of speech, freedom to protest, freedom of association, all this stuff? You know, what did the Constitution say except move? You know? Of course, they didn't want to hear that, and that's when the beating started. Our brothers would be beat bloody, beat into concussions and broken limbs. Our sisters would be beat. Our pregnant sisters were beat, stomped, kicked into miscarriage by cops. A three-week-old baby was trampled to death, his head crushed, killed by cops.
How could it be a racial conflict when both Arabs and Jews, Christian, Muslim, and Jews, claim to be the descendants of one Iraqi citizen? You guess whom I mentioned? Abraham, the patriarch. So then what is wrong? Well, we have to put things into context. Before and during Second World War, our beloved Jewish brothers and sisters were cruelly labeled dirty Jews, Schmutziger Juden. Many millions were massacred in order for the Western world to wake up and to see that the Jews were not dirty, but the Third Reich's ideology was the real dirt. It was too late. But so what? One day, my father told us in 1948, children, we might in the coming days see Jewish soldiers coming to our village. They have machine guns, but they do not kill. They escaped the persecution of a certain devil called Hitler somewhere in Europe, and they are coming to our country. And who more than us Palestinians is entitled to show them that they are welcome here, because they are our blood brothers. And our blood brothers came to the village few days later. We organized for them a banquet like for the day of the resurrection. We gave them our homes, and we slept on the roofs of our houses. After which they ordered the heads of families to take wife and children and go away for 2 weeks with the written promise, 2 weeks and you return. We went, we lived under olive trees, under fig trees, and 2 weeks later the heads of families gathered, went back to see the army. We want to return. They went. They never, ever came back. Among them was my father.
At this point, MOVE took a position, and we made it clear to this sister. We are a peaceful people. We are uncompromisingly opposed to violence. But we're not stupid either. We understand the difference between violence and self-defense. We understand clearly that you are not violent when you defend yourself. But you would be violent if you are assaulted, attacked, and you refuse to defend yourself. Because then you would be endorsing, encouraging, perpetuating violence, the worst form of violence, because then you would be masochistic. You would be suicidal, and MOVE is neither masochistic nor suicidal. We believe in self-defense, and we understand the difference between self-defense and violence. There is not a species of life on this earth that does not defend itself when attacked, when threatened. Humans are no different. It doesn't make us violent. It is the law of life. And nobody has the right to take that away from us.
They were driven to the borders of the new state near the city of Nablus, and they had to march to go away wherever they want. And they crossed the river, the Jordan River. It's not difficult to cross the Jordan River. This is the only river in the world about which more ink was spilled to describe him than there is water in it. So you can cross it easily. And they marched from there to Amman in Jordan, to Damascus in Lebanon, Syria, to Beirut in Lebanon. Most of them were stuck and became the famous refugees in the Arab countries. Very few were able to infiltrate back through the northern borders. And among these very, very few was my father. And that's how we knew what happened to them. Since then, we became the refugees. We asked for our right to return, but in this world, it seems that might is right. And we did not have any might. We appealed to the Supreme Court of Justice in Jerusalem. The resolution, the first, second, third time, was in our favor. But the army did not allow us to return. And we are still refugees. Deportees, 5 kilometers away from our native village. We are allowed to return after we die. We bury our deaths in our cemetery.
This government doesn't care about life. Those running this system do not care about life, about anything in life. Humans, animals, the air, the water, the earth that feeds us, it means nothing to them. Their God is a dollar bill. Their priority is keeping this system afloat, maintaining their position in this system. Life means nothing to them. Everything that the MOVE organization stands for, everything that we represent, and the direction that we're moving in, and the direction that we're influencing others to move in, is away from this system, showing people very clearly that contrary to this system's position, that we could not exist without this system. MOVE is showing people that it's this system that can't exist without us believing in it, giving it our energy, keeping it afloat.
I understand that the Jews surviving Second World War wanted a homeland, and they deserve a homeland. They wanted a home. And they deserve a home. They wanted freedom of expression. And they deserve that. Not because the United Nations or the United States give them that right. It is a God-given right to every human being, Jew as well as non-Jew. So far, so good. When the freedom of expression they sought for their children, and rightly so, when it meant that we lose every kind of freedom, how could we agree? And since then, the conflict is producing only more and more victims. Israel wants peace and security. They already obtained misery, victims, no security whatsoever. We Palestinians We wanted justice and only justice. And we obtained misery and no justice. Because both of us are unable to combine justice with peace. Peace built on justice.
Back in the early 1970s, hardly nobody but MOVE was wearing their hair like this. And people thought we were crazy. They said we were nasty and dirty. And if you walk down the street, you know, even black people were hollering out, take a bath, comb your hair, you know, all kind of crazy stuff. But here we are, some 30-odd years later, and everybody and their mother are wearing locks. So what does the system do? MOVE people just wash our hair and leave it alone and let mama take care of our hair.
But like my people, I decided that every time we reach the bottom of hope, we don't sink into despair, we emerge looking for a new hidden hope. I think it's time to remind you Americans that we Christians, we do not have the monopoly of doing good. And the Holy Spirit does not work only in our little heads. May I dare remind you also that even God is not Christian. It's extremely important to remember that.
August 8th of 1978, this system came to MOVE talking about housing code violations in our house. You know, there was no screen in this particular window. You know, we needed to do this little repair in our house. I mean, nothing kind of stuff. And MOVE is not stupid. We knew good and well that officials of this system didn't care about MOVE people living in a house that had housing code violations. What did they care about that? So we wouldn't fall for the hype. You know, we would not fall for the hype. We let them know, you know, we don't care what they were saying. We'll take care of our house, but leave us alone. You know, they wanted us to vacate our house by August 1st of 1978.
As a good citizen of Israel, I applied for a building permit. And 2 weeks later, the answer came, you will not have a building permit. I said, okay, what should I do? I need a school. If they don't give me a building permit, I will build without building permit and king sura sura. And that's what we did. We started building the big building you saw there without building permit.
We weren't going anywhere. Some MOVE people were sent on other activities, but some MOVE people weren't going anywhere. They were staying in our home. We weren't moving out just because Frank Rizzo, a racist, a notorious, you know, brutal cop who became mayor, you know, just because he wanted to get rid of MOVE. So on August 1st, when MOVE people had not vacated our home, warrants were issued.
3 months later, the police came. Where is your building permit? I don't have. How can you build without building permits? Well, sir, I never built with building permits. It's all with sand, cement, steel, and so on that I built. And the police was very angry.
So on August 8th, after they worked up their little plan of attack, hundreds of cops, firefighters came out to our home talking about evicting us, taking us to court to, you know, explain why we shouldn't be held in contempt for not, you know, vacating our home. That was their excuse.
I was even angrier than the police. He burst saying, you don't do like that in a civilized country. I said, well, sir, if you were civilized, you would have given me a permit to build the school.
The firefighters started their attack by aiming water cannons, deluge hoses, at our home for hours, flooding the basement where MOVE people were with close to 6 feet of water. Now, MOVE women as short as myself had to hold up children, had to stand on a table and hold up children and try to make sure the animals didn't drown either. The dogs that we had didn't drown either. They filled that basement with tear gas. And then they shot thousands of rounds of bullets in on move people. One cop testified that with the tear gas and the darkness in that basement, that he couldn't see anything. But he emptied his gun in corners where he heard babies crying. This is what he testified to.
We continued the construction, and I went to court. It was a Jewish judge, a Jewish priest, and a Palestinian unknown priest. The police asked to destroy immediately the illegal building. And the judge asked me, what do you have to say, Father Shakur? I said, you can destroy it. It will make a big service to me. I will go all around the world telling what you have done. I will raise funds to build 10 schools. And that will blacken the image of Israel. Give me time to find a lawyer. It's a serious issue here. And the Jewish judge said, okay, I give you 6 months to find a lawyer. And he decided that after 6 months, on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, the session will take place and he will decide to destroy or not destroy the building. I said, but sir, I don't come to court on Sunday. I'm in church praying for peace and justice. He said, I don't care. I decide. If you don't want to come, write me a letter 1 week before and I will see what I can do. 1 week before, I wrote a letter. And this Jewish judge postponed the session for another 6 months on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. I wrote another letter. And he postponed that for another 6 months at 6 o'clock, at 10 o'clock in the morning, on a Sunday morning. And he kept postponing the session 6 times. Then I was able to buy the building permit. And then he decided the next session will be on a Monday morning at 10 o'clock.
Well, after they shot thousands of rounds of bullets at MOVE and the smoke cleared, a cop was killed. A cop lay dead. Now, in a situation like this, no matter what happened, who do you think they're going to blame for the death of this cop? I mean, there is no way in the world they would ever admit that they messed up in their frenzy to kill MOVE, that they messed up and killed one of their own. But that's exactly what happened. And it's not something that you should just dismiss, because MOVE didn't invent the term friendly fire. We didn't invent that. This system invented it. Because there were, countless examples of soldiers, of cops shooting each other in a situation. I mean, it obviously wasn't something that just happened once in a blue moon, or they would not have created a term to describe it. MOVE did not invent the term friendly fire. This cop was shot in the base of the neck with the bullet traveling downward. MOVE people, even by the police own admission, were all in the basement of MOVE headquarters. This cop is standing on street level facing MOVE people who are in a basement 6 feet below street level. How is it possible that a MOVE person shot and killed this cop? Even if you believe that MOVE people were shooting out of that basement like crazy, it doesn't matter. How could somebody 6 feet below me, in front of me, shoot me in the back of the neck with the bullet traveling on a downward angle?
I felt you were still reeling from the shock of your daughter's murder on March the 16th in Gaza by an Israeli bulldozer. Mr. Corey told me that he himself had driven bulldozers, although the one that killed his daughter deliberately because she was trying valiantly to protect a Palestinian home in Rafah from demolition was not an ordinary Caterpillar bulldozer, but a 60-ton behemoth, specially designed by Caterpillar. And there's a project right there to demonstrate and prevent as many of these Caterpillar special house demolishing caterpillars from ever getting there. So, a mass action that as Americans
physically
we can do.
Impossible. You know, maybe the ATF or the FBI or somebody, you know, the CIA got weapons that would shoot down if you're aiming up and shoot around corners, but MOVE didn't have it.
An American citizen was willfully murdered by the soldiers of a client state of the United States using a United States-built instrument of death, a terrorist instrument, without so much as an official peep or even the routine investigation.
But that must
be
what they're saying if they're asking you to believe that MOVE people shot and killed this cop. They arrested all my family members, took them off the jail, charged each of the nine with murder. Not one with murder and the other eight conspiracy. They charged all nine with murder. How do nine people fire one bullet from one gun?
It is that fact, that extraordinary fact of Palestinian resistance, which is the reason for the existence of a roadmap and all the numerous so-called peace plans before them. Not at all because the United States and Israel and the international community have been convinced for humanitarian reasons that the killing and the violence must stop. If we miss that truth about the power of Palestinian resistance, despite all its failings and all its mistakes, and God knows there have been many,
you cannot look to the oppressor for the means to stop your oppression. It doesn't work. Now, MOVE is not telling people to just go out, pick up guns, act chaotically or whatever. That's not what we're saying at all. What we're simply telling you is that you cannot look to this system of oppression for direction to stop the oppression. That is the point for our direction. And, you know, the people running this thing, it's only a handful of super rich industrialists. It's not your mayors, your governors, you know, your city councils or your U.S. Congress. It ain't even George Bush. He ain't nothing but a flunky, an errand boy, a front man for those who are really pulling the strings. It don't mean that he ain't a maniac and he ain't sick, but he's just a front man. That's all. You know, we got to do our own work. We've got to think for ourselves. You know, stop trusting this system. You can't trust anything it tells you. You can't. You got to think for yourself. And things that you know are wrong, don't accept it. Question it. Challenge it. Stand up for yourself.
And I heard that somewhere in the world, a city called Washington, there was a president called Bush, the father, not this one. And he had a secretary of state. Bush wanted to install security measures around the houses of officials. We were in 1992, right after the first Gulf War. And Jim Baker did not want any extra security measure around his residence. He told me later, I wanted to live with the same risk, with the same way that every American enjoys. Not me. I said to myself, since that's a problem, why don't I go and pop into the residence of Jim Baker? After all, they will not kill me. They might reject me. And I'm eternally rejected from my home, my village, from Israel. So once more, that's okay. I flew to National Airport.
Up for yourself.
Took the car and drive away.
Only
to the residence
when we do that are we going to see a change? And I'm not saying simply fight for the Move 9 or Mumia or Sundiata Okoli or the Puerto Rican Independistas or Leonard Peltier or whatever. I'm saying fight for yourself, for your own freedom. You know, what could possibly be more important than your freedom? What? Money? What good is money if you ain't free? You know, a certain house in a certain neighborhood, a certain job, things, jewelry, you know, clothes, all these things that the system throws at you to keep you diverted from what's really important. Check your priorities. Make sure that your priorities are in order. And if you find anything more of a priority than your freedom, then you better check yourself out. Check yourself out, because something is wrong. Something is very wrong. You have truly become a slave to this system. So, you know, that is the message that MOVE people are bringing you. Think for yourself.
We want to know your face as America. On our TVs, America has been reduced to soldiers, tanks, helicopters, bloodshed, protestation. And I know America is very different from that. And that's why our students will come to get to know you people, your generosity, your kindness. And maybe we will insist that they teach them some basic elements of your wonderful constitution.
The insanity that you see going on around you, don't feel like there is nothing that you can do about it. Of course there is something you can do about it. And the beginning of doing something about it is not accepting it. It's thinking right, thinking strong, not accepting it. That is the first step. Because when they trained you to accept whatever this system says, that's when they had you. They had all of us. All of us. But when you start seeing things and questioning it and challenging it and not accepting it, then you're freeing yourself. Then you're freeing yourself and making things better. That is the bottom line. Do whatever you can do on whatever level. I'm not here to tell you, you know, what each and every one of you should be doing. I would never presume to do that. Only you know what you can do. Not me. But whatever you can do, you are obligated to do it. And don't let this system convince you that you are a criminal for standing up for what is right. Thank you. remember my third grade history very well. And I remember them talking about people who supposedly stood up for freedom, defied legality, went to war with the government, went to war with cops called redcoats. You know, I was taught about Nathan Hale, Paul Revere, George Washington, Patrick Henry, all these people. And they are termed freedom fighters, heroes for going to war for what is right. Now, how can you possibly be wrong, a criminal, for standing up for what is right? This country, every 4th of July, celebrates that kind of behavior. But anytime you question the system, protest and injustice are wrong, they want to tell you that you don't have the right to do that, that you're wrong. Oh, no. They can't have it both ways. They cannot have it both ways. Either standing up for what you know is right is to be celebrated, or it's to be penalized. Can't have it both ways. What makes Nathan Hale a freedom fighter and Leonard Peltier an urban terrorist? What? They got to explain that, you know? So don't be tricked by the system. Think simply and follow your instinct. George Bush don't know no more than you. You got a brain too. Use it. You know, George Bush don't have no direction to give anybody. Neither does Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, neither do your mayors. You know, your city council people, your state legislatures. They're people just like you. And they don't even know you. So how are they going to tell you how to coordinate your life, your family? They can't even coordinate their own families. George Bush don't know what to do with his daughters. He can't even control them. But he's going to give you direction. He's going to tell you how you should be living, how you should be taking care of your family. You know, he can't even coordinate his own daughters. What's he going to tell you? Think for yourself. Do what you know to be right, and don't accept wrong from this system. The courts have raised hope and spit disappointment, courted the rich and protected their interests. It is past time for all poor people to release themselves from the deceptive strangulation of society. Thank you.
Most Israelis and what seems like the majority of Americans, of American Jews, have made every effort to deny, avoid, or negate the Palestinian reality. That is why there is no peace. Moreover, the roadmap, as I told the Secretary yesterday, the roadmap says nothing about justice or about the historical punishment meted out to the Palestinian people for too many decades to count.
Turn to the speech of Professor Edward Said, which he gave in June in Washington before the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. This is Columbia.
Wasn't out there protesting injustice, out there speaking out about anything. But he was victimized nevertheless. You know, there are eight new people in prison now, and our brother Mamiya.
Popular culture produced by and
but there are
from Morocco to the Gulf
of prisoners throughout
surely
this country.
Needs to be assessed.
They're not moved people.
Me, in this connection,
they're not moved people.
Sure most of you don't even know
and a large number of them are not even guilty of what
the
they
West
were
Bank,
charged
Ramallah with. Is a city under
but
siege,
they're in prison nevertheless, victimized
you know,
nevertheless.
From one town to another, one
I mean,
part of a town
there
to the
are
other.
Countless stories
the fear of, getting picked
of
up
police
by the
murders
and detained.
Across this country.
Palestinian prisoners
they're not moved people, the victims of these crimes. They're not moved people.
All this and the bombings
so
and the
don't think
house demolition,
that being quiet, that simply, you know,
Palestinian
getting your degree in school and getting a certain kind
of
job and, you know, living a certain lifestyle is your security.
And cello under fire,
nobody is telling you, you know, not to work good things in life. But what you do need to understand is that that's not the point. When the only way you can protect yourself and secure yourself is by getting rid of what is going on. Then, only then can you be at peace. Then, and only then can you feel secure. And this is what we want. We know that this system has been
Terrorists,
Thousands of FBI agents are aggressively following every lead. I urge Congress to act quickly to update our laws and procedures and punish those who threaten us. The terrorists want us to stop our lives. That's what they want. They want us to stop flying, and they want us to stop buying. But this great nation will not be intimidated by the evildoers. America will do whatever it takes to get our economy moving again.
These are difficult times. Too many are worried about their jobs.